It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz.
Реальные доходы граждан за счет увеличения пенсий, пособий и зарплат в бюджетной сфере.
That's Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin announcing today that he will seek the presidency of his country a third term that could, in theory, keep him in power until 2024. James Fallows of The Atlantic is with me now, as he is most Saturdays, for a look at some of the stories we're following. Jim, hi.
Hello, Guy.
Let's start with Putin, Jim, because this happened just a few hours ago. He was, of course, the president of Russia for 8 years. He was required to step down 4 years ago because of term limits. So he became prime minister. Now, clearly, this was a holding pattern.
Sure. Nobody can be very surprised by this news, but that doesn't make it good news. And the reason I say that, this is such a different direction from basically the rest of the world. You see, in the Arab countries, there's a movement away from these one-man autocracies that have been there for a long time. And the other leading autocracy in the world, that is to say China, has regularized some system for moving people in and out of power. So to have this one-man, long-term, multi-decade rule is, I think, somewhat discouraging.
2024, they're saying.
Exactly, yeah.
Sticking with foreign news, most countries are now saying that they will back a resolution in the UN granting Palestine non-voting member status if that comes to the General Assembly. That would essentially recognize Palestinian independence. This, of course, leaves the United States and Israel very, very isolated right now.
It does, and this strikes me as a tragic missed opportunity for everybody, including notably the United States and Israel. I remember long ago, I was actually at Camp David when President Jimmy Carter brokered the agreement between Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat for the initial Camp David Accords. And each of those leaders had to move past, way past the sort of extremes of his own constituency to make a compromise. And I think that in the last year or so, it's been Prime Minister Netanyahu who's been most notable for not being willing to do that, not being willing to stop the settlement. So I think this is really a discouraging step.
Jim, buried under all of this news, we are about a week away from a possible government shutdown. And I hate to say it, but I'd almost be surprised if Congress was actually functioning properly.
That would be the real astonishment. I've been thinking about all this news we've been having of political dysfunction. And long ago, there used to be a saying in politics, you can't legislate morality. And the point that I was getting at was that laws can cover only so much. And I think as we look at the current Congress, it's not so much that its rules of operation have changed as that the acceptable norms are different. You know, we've talked before about the filibuster. Most of the filibusters in U.S. history have happened the last couple of years. It's only been relatively recently that you needed 60 votes in the Senate to get anything done. Until maybe a decade ago, the appropriations process had a kind of order to it. The chairmen of the committees were embarrassed if they didn't have budget bills prepared in proper time. Now, none of the committees do that. And there's an aspect of this I think deserves emphasis. Of course, each party has its responsibility for extreme positions, but there's an asymmetry here. The Democrats require the government to work to have their agenda be pursued. The Republicans often argue that the government can't and shouldn't work. So it's more in their advantage to kind of push things to the max, as they've been doing.
Finally, Jim, I want to ask you about the two executions this past week, both in the South. We'll talk about one of them more in depth at Troy Davison in a few moments. But a lot of coverage of these executions.
Indeed. And I think an aspect of it that I thought deserved even more attention than it got was the activist slash one-time comedian Dick Gregory staging a fast outside the execution site of the white man, Mr. Brewer, who'd been convicted.
Lawrence
Brewer, who'd been convicting of this horrific murder in Jasper, Texas, I believe, of dragging Mr. Bird, a black man, to his death. And Gregory was making the case that if you're against the death penalty, you should be against it even for the people who are clearly guilty or there's no mitigating circumstances, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was also in the context where we see a divergence between the old South and the rest of the country, that executions have been going way down the last 20 years in the rest of the country and way up, especially in Texas and Virginia. And this adds to the tension of this whole issue.
James Fallows is national correspondent for The Atlantic. You can find his blog at jamesfallows.theatlantic.com. Jim, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Guy.